The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We open up to you this morning and this afternoon. We ask that your word comes stronger and in part of your spirit gets stronger in this place to make all of us better. In Jesus' name we pray. Shout aloud, amen. Amen. Can this come louder? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at three persons. What do we say to them today? What do we say to them? You don't know. Anything that comes to your mind. Hallelujah. Do you want to shout a very loud hallelujah this morning? Hallelujah. That's not loud enough. Let's try it again. Shout a louder hallelujah. How do you used to say it those times? Your hallelujah has kwashoko. Do you know that thing? It's not true. Can we shout louder this morning or this afternoon? You know, sometimes I will ask you to shout. Sometimes it's to wake you up so that you can be in the right frame of mind to receive from God. Because some of you have not shouted since today. Have you shouted today? So shout now. The people that are shouting, we see how they'll be more active in the message. So shout now. Glory! Glory to God. Have your seats. Yes, yes, yes. That's how it's done. Amen. You know, some of you that have kids in this place, sometimes at home, you just hear your child, she will shout, glory! They'll be hearing those things. They'll be learning those things. Amen. And one of my friends was telling me that sometimes in the house, the son will just start running up and down, shouting, glory, glory, glory. So me and I told him, I said it's a good thing, because if we're exposing him to clubs and to parties, one day we'll just see him dancing one dance step. So it shows that something we're exposing him. So it's good your children can shout glory. Amen. You know, it will not be here that our children will just grow up learning all the satanic dance steps. Do you understand? So it's good they learn how to pray. Let them start by mimicking you. Amen. Do you know what I said? Let them start by, sometimes you just see them in the parlor, they're just doing like mommy. Don't stop them. Hallelujah. They're learning how you do it. It's a matter of time. They will now know the real thing. Praise God. And when kids learn to pray very early, it doesn't leave them. Some of us learned to pray in our junior class. And it has not left you till now. Imagine if you had learned it in primary school. It doesn't leave you for long. Amen. You know, talking about, let me say this to parents and intending parents. Continue exposing your kids to church, Christian meetings. I observed something, and I've shared this with you before. All the kids, when we're growing up, that their parents forced to SU, forced to all those youth camp, Instac, do you know those things? None of them turned out badly. They might even be the troublesome people in the camp as at then. But what you find out that some of them may not be pastors, as it were. But you get as they no go bad rich. Something is deposited that cannot be removed. That's what I found out. In fact, some of the guys I saw today recently on Facebook doing ministry, they were the troublesome people in camp then. Can I tell you, I was also one of those unserious people in camp. Say amen. Amen. Yeah, actually. Because I remember those days, I used to love those SU youth camps. Not really because there's anything I'm going to learn from them, but we used to have a clique. It always held in our in my school. My school was always different. So when we come, we'll plan how we'll go and play game. And seriously, in the morning, we'll have a wolf sticking out of the gate. It's my school. So we'll go down to, if you know Sky very well, that's only axis. We can play game then from morning till night. And come back. So we always look forward to it. So people think we like going to camp. No. It was that freedom. But you know, don't ever say, oh, these kids, you are not seeing. Maybe you have younger ones. Say, you will not come again. This is what you can let them be coming. Before they left that morning, they heard something. When they come back at night, they will hear something before they sleep. The environment itself is shaping them. Are you getting the point? It was in one of those camp meetings that I was talking with my friend. Then I'd come close to, you know, I think I met my friend Casey. I said, what do you want to be in the future? And we're just talking. So I want to be a pastor. We're just talking. Just by coming around those meetings. I get what I'm saying. So they are not wasted. So I don't know why God is bringing it to my heart. But if I have younger ones, I have people you are raising, what are they even learning? You just go there. This is what they're learning. Let them be going there. Let them just come. You know, some of you that are coming, you don't even know what is happening to you as I just showing up here every day. It's just when you go back to do the regular things you used to do, you find out you've lost appetite or you're no longer good in doing those things you used to do before. Because God's word is working and is changing us. Amen. Today I'm trying to bring the first phase of the God life teaching to a close. So it's in phases. Have you been blessed? Should I ask you what you learned? Get a mic. It's Saturday, so we have some time in our hands. Get a mic for them. You know how Saturdays can be. But today will not be like that. But next week will. Next week will be a stretch. But today will not be like that. Just a little stretch. Amen. So get a mic. So what have you picked so far? Today is day 7. Like you've been coming here for 7 days. So who wants to say something? What have you picked so far? What has blessed you? What do you want to share with others that can bless them? So who's going first? Okay, Sister Uju is going first. So what have you picked so far?
Praise God.
Yes.
Good morning, Dad. Good morning, woman church.
You know, as Sister Uju is talking, what people can indicate, and all the other centers, somebody can also talk there. You know, just share with people what I've learned. Go ahead.
Okay, what I've learned so far is the day you taught us on forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgiving people, especially the people that get on your nerves.
Yes.
Like they intentionally do things that offend you. Or maybe somebody that you know, and they know you, and they now offend you intentionally. And you now say we should forgive. It looks as if we're acting foolish because these people we know that these people did these things intentionally.
Why do you think it's intentional?
I know now. Because some people, when they offend you with something that is confidential. Yes, sir. So you are just confused why the person will bring up that matter. Maybe something you told them and they just blot out the case of where they are angry and they just bring out words. It happens to me a lot. And they'll be like, I say things when I'm angry. I'm like, it's fine. So that message got to me because I just need to keep forgiving. And I happened to something happened this morning when me and my sister were coming to church. And then she did something. I got offended. But I don't remember Papa's voice. Forgive people fast. So immediately I had to let it go. And I realized I'm growing from there. Hallelujah.
But let me say something, please. There's something I want you to. You say something about people always hurting you with confidential information you give them. Stop giving out those information. It just changes everything. Stop giving out those information. Confidential is a strong word. If it is confidential, let it remain confidential. Once 3 people know something, it's no longer a secret. Are you aware? It doesn't mean you should be secretive. It just means you should be selective with people you talk to. Very selective. And selective means the person has to have proven himself over time. Not 6 months, not 8 months. There are secrets I can't even tell my siblings. Yes, that's the truth. Not because they're not good people. Sometimes it's because they can't handle it. You know, there are things people cannot handle. They love you, but they can't handle it. You love them, but they can't handle it. I get what I'm saying? Yes. Not everybody can handle everything. Sit down, please. Not everybody can handle everything. Do you understand? There are people, I give a very wild example that I've used a few times. A lady was abused, or a guy was abused. And a guy can be abused. I have a spiritual son some time ago who was abused, like terribly abused. When I mean the abuse is not from failure, not from women, from men. Heavily. Beat him up and abused him. That's not a story you go tell everybody. Not everybody can handle that. You get the point? Sometimes the wife can't even handle it. So just keep it yourself. I'm serious. I feel what I'm saying. Yeah. How do you know? I can handle it. And I did handle it. And he's standing strong in his work with God today. I'm not even sure he remembers that event. It's been years. We've never talked about it. And I'm the only one that was aware at the time. I think, and then one pastor. That's the point. So it's a question of knowing what people can handle. You can't give her that information. One day they're now quarreling. He's now fighting with somebody. He said, you like this, that. Do you understand? So just preserve your hearts too. Okay, who is saying something? Okay, there are now many hands in the air. Where do we go from now? Okay, go from Stadebi. Then I want to hear Kosi. I want to hear what Kosi has to say. Yes.
Good morning, Dad. Good morning, Mom. Good morning, yes. Church. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I learned a lot, but then one of the things that stood out for me was when you spoke about meditation, and you went straight to the point. You said that if you're worried about how you would act, you should be more focused on what you take inside. So it's to me now. I am no longer worried about what I would do if a situation presents itself. I am more intentional or more focused on what I take in, because anything I take in, I'm going to take it out, give
yes.
it out. Thank
yes,
you very
yes,
much.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, if Kelsi or Angela, what do you know her as? I like calling people by their evil names.
Good morning, sorry. Sir.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The part that blessed me was the self-control and tolerance. You know, at the place I was working, there was this girl. She was always being chaka chaka chaka. So the girl just said something. Me that is talking a lot. I was just looking at her. I know what to say, but what do I say? I was just looking and say, this girl. I was on my own, no? But it just happened. So the part of self-control is
Did you guys quarrel?
No, the guy is always doing chaka chaka chaka. So
did you give it back to her any of those days?
No. Like I was planning, Daddy, I'm not lying to you. I'm planning.
Okay, you are planning to.
Yes, to give her a bus boost. Like, no, but... I'm planning.
So that girl should thank God for 3 days of life, because that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes.
So even when I'm washing plates, I'll say this girl. I say, let me leave it, it's nothing. So in the part of self-control, it's just like my family, they're always saying something. So I will just look at them and still keep quiet though. Thank God for 30 days of life, because it's just like showing another version of me that wasn't there. Like, even today when I was walking, I was murmuring, I was saying, thank God for the life of God living in me. Like, that it is.
Because they would have collected.
Like, my mom would be like, oh, sin that one, okay. I'm warning you. And you know my own, my mama. So, Daddy, I want to say thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So, some people should go and thank God for this meeting. Oh. Lots of people in the meeting, people that are not in it, they would have beaten them up. Praise God. You know, there are people that just want to get on your nerves. I just like that. You know what I was thinking when I asked you, how do you know it was deliberate? You know what I've come to believe? Anything that does anything is deliberate, so I just forgive you already. Everything is deliberate. Every offense is deliberate. So, yet forgive even though it is deliberate. Do you understand now? Yeah. So who else? Where are we going to? I need a guy. Yes. Give. Bro. John. John. What's your name? Mesoma. Huh? Mesoma. Okay. We'll go with that. Yes.
Dad, good afternoon.
Yes.
Mom, good afternoon. Good afternoon, church.
Good morning. Good afternoon, yes.
Okay. The part that blessed me the most was when you talked about, you said, the proof of knowledge is doing. So there was an example used about mechanical engineers, and it kind of struck me a little because I'm studying engineering and I know a lot of mechanical engineers. And the amount of maths we used to solve, and after doing all those things, and we cannot really do anything with it. So, but the thing was now, but when you now said something that actually struck me the most was when you now said, this should not put us under the pressure to do, but under the pressure to learn, because by continuing learning God's word, that's how it will produce doing in us. And it's as if you said something, and instruct, and you now answered the question that came up in my mind almost immediately. So that was the part that really blessed me.
Amen. So engineers, you don't take it personal. Don't take it, but just do something. Well, this is, how many just in this church? People don't know. Noel is an engineer. People don't. Noel or Felix, all those people. Yes. Masoma is an engineer. That engineer, so it's not like engineer. I know that it's, you get to site, there are many engineers. It's not like engineer, like engineer. So what's happening? You did. Hallelujah. But that's powerful, you know. That's powerful. The proof of knowledge is doing. And how to do is to know. Because if you go and if you begin to do to prove that you know, it's a proof that you still don't know. And the point is, you will get tired along the line. That's the truth. You know, this is a flow. You should flow from, you get tired. You can't pretend for so long, especially to pretend to do good. Doing good is hard. Working in love is hard. You can't pretend for so long. Imagine you are pretending that you're a very kind person. But you are not. So the key thing is to keep putting the word of God into your heart. Of course, there is a part of yielding, which we're going to talk about today. There's a part of trying to conform yourself to what you are learning, right? But make sure that the effort you are putting on the outside is going with some things you are depositing on your inside. Where there is a problem is where there is nothing entering you and they are trying to give out something. How do they even say it again? You can't give what you don't have. So even as I'm trying to align myself to the character of Christ that is a being, I must be feeding myself. Because it's when I feed myself enough that it will now be easy to align myself. Are we getting the point? And very powerful stuff. Do we take one more? Yes. Okay, let me take from the pastors or ministers. Who goes first? Okay, Pastor Mara. Is it pastors first or ladies first? Or almost married people first. Yes, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Sam. Good afternoon, ma. Good afternoon, church. Yes. So, one of the things that stood out for me this week is that point he made about that love work have a way of affecting all our conduct as believers. And I used to think I'm a love being. Okay, not like I used to think I'm a love being, but I used to think I work in love. But when you were now picking it one after the other, I talked about that kindness and faithfulness actually start for me. I like minding my business. If you give me face, I give you face. If you don't, I'll just move my way. And so, and recently, after that, I had to intentionally greet people, even part of our neighbors that I don't like them before. I don't even greet them. And I greeted them, I reached out to them, I preached to them actually, I even invited them, so I'm coming to them tomorrow. And it has been a blessing to me. Even that aspect of faithfulness, sometimes when I do things, I just remember, I'm a love being, you know, this doesn't look like being a love being. And
wow.
Faithfulness in terms of, this is what you said you're going to do, just keep to your words. You say you're going to come by this, just do it. And if I can't do it, I have to call the people and say, see, I can't come again. Or, normal me, I'll just allow you to just go. But it has actually been shaping my conduct, and I'm grateful. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. This is a blessing, right? So what you said about love and kindness, but that you have to now reach out. You know, the point is, I was meditating about the love of God earlier today, and one of the things that stood out to me is the fact that the love God doesn't, in His love, He doesn't react. You know, He initiates it. And many people want to show love when you initiate the love, but the love of God initiates the love. That before Bible said, while we are yet sinners, He came and died for us. So we self loving God is that we are responding to the love He has loved us. That's what we should do out there. Don't wait for people to initiate it. Just like say, if you greet me, I'll greet you back. Why not to be the first person to greet? I follow what I'm saying. Be the one to initiate the kindness. And you see what God worked out with that. She had to preach to them. So that has led to soul winning. Are you getting the point? That's led to soul winning. Instead of just waiting, if you don't talk to me, because people will not talk to you. Sometimes Satan knows that if they talk to you and there is contact, you are going to win them to the Lord. So he will make sure they don't like you, they don't talk to you. Sometimes people want to initiate the contact. Are you getting the point? How are you doing? How is everything? Care for them. Don't let people care for you first. Then you return. Of course, when they care for you, return it. But don't always wait for them to be the one to. And I'm saying this in every, even in marriage. Don't always let your husband or your wife be the first one to initiate things. Then you say, okay. Sometimes be the one to initiate. Don't always respond to love. Sometimes initiate the love yourself. You know, so have you seen two friends quarreling? One of them have, they are desperately seeking to talk to each other. They're just waiting for who will talk first. Have you ever been in that situation? So who spoke first? The other person. So you see them that they are done with the quarrel in their hearts. But one person has to first say, I'm sorry. And sometimes you've decided, if she says, I'm sorry, I'm going to say, I'm sorry too. But she should say it first. So start being the first to say it. So is there anybody angry with in this church now? Look around, look around. Is there anybody? Check, 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 check. If there's somebody, go and tell the person sorry. Okay, give me Emmanuel, please. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Dad. Good afternoon, Mom. Good afternoon, family. Okay, what stood out for me in this particular conference is, one, you explained to us Philippians chapter 2. That told us that we should walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Then the next verse immediately says that it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So he brought me to a point of rest where things I'm trying to work out in my life should not come by me trying hard to do, but me actually walking in the Spirit, seeing what the Spirit has already done in my life, and then I'm aligning myself to that. Particularly, so it's not that I've maybe, because I've been trying to distinguish the difference between the works of the law and then I'm walking in the Spirit, like doing good works and then I'm the works of the law, because sometimes I usually get confused because I don't know, like I preach good works and then I'm expected to live good, so now I no longer preach good work, I'm supposed to preach the leading of the like doing good things by the leading of the Spirit. So, but two of them sometimes I used to get confused, but that explanation on Philippians chapter 2 cleared everything. So I should work more in doing what the Spirit of the Lord tell me to do than trying to use my like my own hand to struggle to do what I want to do. Hallelujah.
That's beautiful. We're going to look at that further today to bring more light to that. Okay. Okay, yes, Jibai, since I don't want to carry mic.
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Daddy, thank you so much for this teaching. The part that I've been thinking about is for the fact that God has deposited all these things in us. So I was wondering, why am I not working in some of these things? So it has been on my mind for so long, from the day you taught us. And the thing, it just dawned on me that I don't know it yet. So because if I know this thing, then I should be working in it. So it just, to me, it's reawoken the call to know more. to the call to study more, to know more about this thing. Because the more I know it, the more I work in them. So
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
That's beautiful. Amen. So one of the ways that this first 7 days would have blessed you is that you are studying your Bible the more. Yes. You are reading Christian books the more. You are listening to teachings the more. You're learning more. That's one proof that you've learned. Because it's now when you begin to learn these things. You know, one of the things I observed about spiritual growth, you don't even know when some things has happened in your life. Sometimes you don't even know. As you're just learning, you don't even know how you've gotten better. I've had to deal with people that have maybe very serious addictions, like sexual addictions, and then they keep learning. Suddenly they tell you, Daddy, you know, I just found that it's been 3 months. They just wake up to find out. They just wake up to find out. I can tell the point. And just wake up and that I've not done that. You know, that's one of my sons now that is following, it's one of us here in this meeting. You know, when we started talking, it was a lot of issues with pornography, masturbation, and the rest of them. And I just said, well, they're going to be giving me a monthly report on how these things are going. But for now, just because before then, it's been a whole lot. But I can tell you, it's been over 1 year now. Just thinking about it now. It's been over 1 year, and there's been not one visit to a pornographic site. Just be learning the word. Just be praying. Just throw yourself into your walk with God. Some things will die naturally. So sometimes when he eventually remembers it at all, is when he has to report to me. Are you getting the point? Yes. You say, we've not done it all. There's no urge. No adult sight. No masturbation. No man, no woman. Do you understand the point? Pure like that. You know, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, somebody is asking me a question. I just said that in my spirit now. So what is wrong with watching pornography? Is it against walking in love? Is there anybody I'm hurting? Is it not myself? I'm watching it for me. Have you ever thought something like that? Has it ever crossed your mind? Talk, just say the truth. Has it ever crossed your mind? Okay, don't talk again. Let me tell you what is wrong with watching pornography. I'll tell you two things. All those stuffs. One is, you're actually sinning against God. Well, I'm going to tell you how. Because you're hurting yourself. You're messing with your mind. Yes. And even if you don't call it sin, it is definitely going to lead to sin. Definitely. Because you keep messing, just like what I taught you about meditation. You keep messing with your mind like that. Eventually, the reason you've not yet committed the big sin is because the opportunity has not come. If you keep watching that and messing with your mind, eventually, it's going to lead to that. And I always tell people, why do you browse the internet if you don't want to make any downloads? If you don't want to do, why are you watching all those stuffs? And you know, I don't know why God is putting this in my heart strongly, but you see, pornography and masturbation is something you have to deal with. And don't excuse it with, some people are saying, it's because I'm not married. When I'm married, it will stop. It's not true. It's a habit. It doesn't respect marriage. If you don't deal with it, even after marriage, I've had to handle a few cases like that. And thank God, God is helping. The last one, God is actually intervening. Hallelujah. At least the last report I got, there has been no case of that. But then, these are married people who I'm talking about. Married people. I've had cases of ladies who will be done with their husband on bed, and they will still run into the bedroom to go and watch porn and to go and masturbate. I get to the point. And the point is, you are messing with your mind. You are messing with your mind. This teaching is meant to help you. What I taught is done meditation. Should have told you what pornography does to you. That's the same way, the same thing God's word will do to you. When you read it and put it to your mind and turn it over. Remember yesterday? That's the same thing, that particular thing. I don't know who has this answer, but that same thing is going to do to you. So if you need help, ask for help and get it. And it's actually possible to do without it. It's actually possible to win it and to overcome it. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? It's possible. So I don't know who has that answer, but please, this answer is for you. You can win it. You can overcome it. You can deal with it. You can deal with it. There are some other things he does to you. When I was with the, we had our couples classic, it came up in our conversation and I addressed this particular matter in some more details than I cannot go into now. But it's actually a serious matter. Are you getting the point? It's actually, it affects many things. And it's something that's eventually going to lead you. The Bible said you should abstain from all appearance of evil. Some things may not really be evil, but it's going to lead to it. It's going to lead to it. You know, the love of money is not evil. You know, right? But it will definitely lead to evil. That's how it is. Loving money may not be a sin. The Bible never said love of money is evil. It said love of money is the root of evil. In other words, it's something that will produce sin eventually. If you love money too much, you might not have sinned. But come on, it's a matter of time you will commit many, many other sins. Many, many other sins. It will produce evil. So even if you say, there's nothing wrong with pornography and masturbation, it is the root. It's the root of many evils. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Are you following me? And it will mess with your mind. Okay, let's see what we can do today. Are you here now? So yesterday we began to look at, we first looked at knowing. Remember what brought us to this point is, we are looking at how to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 25. Since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I live in the Spirit. Shall we say, I live in the Spirit. And I walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Since we live in the Spirit, let us walk. Now, before this verse 25, Paul already said something in verse 16. And he tells us one benefit of walking in the Spirit. Major benefit. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how not to fulfill the lust of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. The lust there means the desires of the flesh. How not to fulfill the desires of the flesh? It's a, so what are the desires of the flesh? The desires of the flesh are the opposite of Galatians 5, 22 to 24. The opposite of that love family. It was first listed before 22 came. So go to verse 19, Galatians 5, 19. It tells us the desires of the flesh. What are they? The works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Number one. Come on, did you leave your voice at home? Number one is what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. So stay here, uncleanness. What is uncleanness? It's not being dirty. Give me like NLT of that verse. Uncleanness. NLT said, impurity. And so we can actually even classify this masturbation that I was talking about under this. It's a work of the flesh. Are you following me? So go back to uncleanness. These are things that are not pure. Lasciviousness. Where people do things without, you know, they're just lascivious. A closer word to lasciviousness is licentiousness. Where people just do things and they don't mind. Next verse. Verse 20. Idolatry. Having idols, things you exalt above God and all that. Then witchcraft. And this witchcraft is actually not about the Ojuju Calabar witchcraft. Witchcraft deals more with, it's actually something that has to do with manipulation. Manipulating people. That's what witches do. That's what witchcraft is. Manipulation. Give me like NLT, other translations. Let me see what they used. Sorcery. Amplify Classic. Sorcery. Message Bible. Magic show religion. You know, pretense and manipulation. You know, that can be witchcraft in the church. I hope you're aware. There's witchcraft as a work of the flesh. It can be in the church. People try to manipulate people. In fact, some people try to practice witchcraft on their pastor. And I used to teach my pastors a lot. One of the things you have to fight against in church is the spirit of witchcraft. Says, how does it manifest? Many ways. People can even use money to manipulate. That's what that guy wanted to do to Peter. Gave him money and said, give me this power. Manipulation. You now find out you are turning your message to suit them. They do wrong, you can no longer shout at them because they bring money. That manipulator controlling what you preach. In fact, sometimes people's faces can be witchcraft. A witchcraft attack. He says, how do you mean? Do you know I can be preaching long now, 6 hours? That's why you do your face. The reason you have put your face like that is so that I can see that you are tired. So I normally say when I preach, people's face is spiritual warfare. Yes. If you ever thought for long, you know what I'm saying. But they'll just be. Even if you do that, when you do that, I'll preach for 3 hours. I'm not going to fall for that. Because of our witchcraft, then he enters. That's walking out of love, though. It talks about hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. These are the works of the flesh. So verse 16 tells us that when we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill these things listed. So how not to fulfill these things is to walk in the spirit. Amen. What are the fruits of what is the fruit of the spirit? Love. So can we say walking in the spirit is walking in love? Are we going to be correct? Walking in the spirit is walking in love. So when we walk in love, of course, empowered by the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And so we're seeing how we do that. I told you yesterday, first thing is to know. You've got to know. You've got to know what God has done for you in Christ. You've got to know. And I've told you, the knowledge is not just to hear it. It's to keep learning it and keep learning it and learn it all your life. He says, is there a point I will get to and I have known it? Well, no. He said, why? Well, no and yes. By no, I mean, there's a point you will get to and you would have made some progress in the knowledge that you made yesterday. But you have to keep learning. You know, there are some courses that you study in Nigeria. For instance, if you are a lawyer, a barrister, for instance, and you want to be appearing in court and winning cases, you know you have to keep studying. For every case you want to appear before, you have to study the Constitution again, read it again. Even though you know it, you don't assume that you know it when you want to appear before a case, before the court. Right? You go over it again. So it's something you keep learning to strengthen yourself in the knowledge, to strengthen yourself in the knowledge. One of the major examples of walking in love I've seen in our generation or the past generation was Kenneth E. Hagin. It was amazing when Brother Hagin was being buried. We all know Brother Hagin with all the mighty miracles that followed. Have you ever watched a Brother Hagin meeting? Mighty miracles. I know you used to watch people grow short legs. I've seen Brother Hagin grow about 15 short legs in a meeting. Yes, it's all of you. Come line up here. I just feel the anointing to do that. And all of them, because he was very anointed. But when they came to his burial, 70% of the speech in that burial was about how he walked in love. Many of them didn't mention his miracles. He had such an exemplary love walk that you wouldn't find. Many of them told stories of how, you know, you can be playing games. One guy said he was playing golf. They were just playing games. And Brother Hagin doesn't love to lose when he plays games. So the guy just told him, did you see this newspaper? That they said this guy said that about you. And he just told him, make no fuss about it. He didn't even read it. He didn't bother. He said the thing that shocked him was later that December, that year, when they were gifting, Brother Hagin and the ministry sent a gift to that ministry. The gift to them. Now that's high class love work. I mean, someone has written about you. Imagine somebody goes on Facebook, a ministry goes on Facebook, begins to write about us, Platform of Grace is this, Pastor Henry is this, that, and then later we send the gift. I say, we love you. Amen. So what if they don't receive it well? You are not sending it because you want them to, if you want them to receive it well, you're about to manipulate them. You want to use the gift to shut them up. Are you what I'm talking about? I mean, you just send the gift because you just care about them. Just send them. God help you guys. God bless you. God bless you. So that's exemplary. And that particular trait is not because he's a man of God. It's because he's a believer. Are you getting the point? It's not because you don't learn. It's a Christian character does not form because you're a man of God. It's because you're a Christian. A proper believer. So you've got to keep knowing these things and keep knowing and keep knowing until it sinks deep. Right? And then, of course, that is the reckon part. We're looking at that yesterday. Father, you have to reckon. You have to see yourself. So what you now know, you now begin to see yourself from that angle. So Romans 6:11 says, reckon ye yourselves dead to sin. And I showed you that word reckon is the Greek word logizomai, if you remember. It means to account, to impute, to estimate, to see yourself from this perspective. To, it's just like when, I give an example this day, you've marked some scripts, we now say record these scripts. So what you are recording, if somebody scored 70, you are putting 70. You are not writing 70 so that it will become 70. You are writing 70 because the score is actually 70. So he's saying, look at yourself as a righteous man, not because if you look at yourself as righteous, you will not become righteous. No. Look at yourself as righteous because you are actually righteous. Look at yourself as someone that is full of love. Not so that you become full of love, but because you are actually full of love. Are you getting the point now? Look at yourself like someone who forgives. Not because when you start seeing yourself that way, you will now start forgiving. But because you are actually like that. What actually happens is that when you now begin to see yourself like that, you will now begin to walk in it. So seeing myself like that does not make me like that. But it brings me to the experience of what I am already. Are you getting the point now? So we looked at that yesterday. And I told you one of the ways, one of the things we do it, while I was shouting on this reckon, is because sometimes, no, scratch that, all the time, for you to actually walk in love and do God's bidding, you have to be conscious of who you are. But I'll show you the major challenge we have is consciousness. Consciousness. So that is when you finish doing something that you remember that, oh, I'm even a believer. I shouldn't have done this. So we're looking at what brings us to that point of consistent consciousness. We saw that one, I said you should pray in the spirit. I'll start with that today. You should pray in the spirit a lot. Remember? When you pray in the spirit a lot, it makes you conscious. I won't say much about this because I would say something about it when just shortly before we close. So pray in the spirit a lot. Pray. It keeps you conscious. It keeps you aware. Observe that the season you pray in tongues a lot, those are not the seasons you can easily say anything and talk anyhow. Those are the seasons you've made yourself alert to the Spirit. So pray in the Spirit a lot. Secondly, we saw the need to meditate. Meditate. Practice meditation. Put God's word on your lips. We saw that yesterday. Put God's word on your lips. And I told you that the Hebrew word is what? Is what? Hagah. That's H-A-G-A-H. It means to murmur. So the same thing you do with murmuring is the same thing you do with meditation. So actually meditation is murmuring on the right things and about the right things. That's meditation. Murmuring about the right things. Are you following me now? Murmuring with the right things and about the right things. Meditation is not to just, you know, there's something people call meditation. I want to explain that. You know, yoga is not meditation. Do you know what yoga is? Have you seen practice yoga? How have you practiced yoga before? It's not bad now. Have you practiced before? Have you? How do you do it? You just sit down. I think you cross your leg or something. Then say something. Light music, and then you free your mind. That's not meditation, no. The Bible says we should free our mind. Free your mind, demon will possess you. Don't free your mind. Because that's the difference. That thing is, people call it Eastern meditation. It's not Christianity at all. Just sit down and free your mind. The Bible says you should free your mind. The Bible says you should fill your mind with God's word. Yoga says, don't put nothing in your mind. Just free your mind. Allow yourself to be free. I don't even know if that works. Does it work? Have you done it before? People that does it work? You work small, Abby. It makes you calm. Praise God. You know, those, for me, I want to say it's a sin, but those are counterfeits and alternatives that the devil is bringing to the teaching of God's word. There is real meditation where you do not free your mind. You put God's word on your mind and turn it over in your mind. So I've told you the presence of meditation. Number one is what? The presence of meditation. Number one? ponder, yes. Then mortar, then rower. So you go from pondering. So you put a reality of God's word in your mind, and you are turning it over, then you begin to murmur. Because that's actually how you murmur. I just explained the process of murmuring too. If someone annoys you, you don't just begin to speak out immediately. You hide it in your heart first. After you ponder, you now begin to small. I don't know this kind of father that somebody have. Somebody call somebody, somebody's father, and ordinary to give somebody school fees. Is this how other fathers used to behave? Other fathers would have taken care of their children. And even you are talking to yourself at this point. You will murmur it to a point. The more you murmur, the bolder you are becoming. Then you can now tell your father, you are not a good man. He will not beat you up. But that's the process. So you didn't just come to the point where you began to speak out. Now that's something to do with the word of God. So this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. So you keep it there. It's a practical thing. That's why if you practice meditation well, the end point of meditation is confession. And I'm going to talk about confession very shortly. Because that's another thing that you would do if you are going to remain conscious of the life of God in you. If you're going to remain conscious of what God has done in you, you must practice confession. You must practice confession. Are you getting the point now? So you meditate at the point, you know, Isaiah 26 verse 3, it said, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Who is that man? Whose heart is stayed on thee. So you see, you are not always peaceful. The secret is there. You know, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. How do you walk in it? Stay your mind on him. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Stay your mind on him. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. You keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So when you put your hard mind on him for a long time, you begin to experience peace. So peace does not come by freeing up your mind. As you just free up your mind, think about nothing. That's pretense. It's just like the kind of peace that alcohol gives. When you take alcohol, you know now, people are now about to pretend again. I hear people say, it's not like I'm a drunkard, but whenever I get overwhelmed, I just drink. Let me tell you, if that's the basis where you drink, you're going to become a drunkard very soon. Because as you grow, you will find out that life itself is overwhelming. So if you only drink when you're overwhelmed, let me tell you, you're a drunkard in the making. Because life is overwhelming. You can get overwhelmed 5 times in a day. Are you not aware? 7 times, says, sir, it's not done well, you're still growing. Sometimes you look around, the whole world is overwhelming. You look at your spouse, overwhelming. Look at your children, overwhelming. You look at your phone, overwhelming. Account balance, overwhelming. Then you drink. No. There is the peace of God. Hallelujah. You know that song? I let the peace of God. Do you remember? Rule. Yes. Quiet. From fearful. Yes. Like storms. My God. You let the peace of God. When troubles arise, you don't take alcohol to quiet your mind. It doesn't work. And even if it works temporarily, when the alcohol goes, the problem is it staring you in the face. Why not practice this one I'm telling you? Let the peace of God stay. Practice meditation. How do I sleep peacefully when there is chaos everywhere? I'm telling you. I just pray a little and just put God's word on my mind. And I'll just sleep. I can tell you, I've never lost sleep because I was troubled since I learned God's word. I'm telling you. You see, first thing is that I'm not even someone that sleeps a lot. Do you understand? So it's not when sleep now comes, I can't fight it. I don't sleep a lot. Like, I'm not those types that just hit the bed and sleep off. As long as you are like that, you are blessed. I'm not like that. So when the sleep eventually comes, there's no room to fight it. Let the peace of God stay. I'm saying no matter what you are going through today, don't let your mind become a battleground and a playground for the devil to be throwing all his rubbish. Let the peace of God, by meditation, put God's word on your heart. You don't know what to put. Put whatever promises God has made to you. We saw Psalm 118, Psalm 48. The psalmist said, my eyes prevent the night watches that I may meditate upon thy word and thy laws and all that. And if you read that with NLT, NLT said, I stay awake thinking about your promises. So just stop, think about God's promise. All the things he has said to you, he has promised you provision. Just thinking about it. Smiling. Give me like NLT of this. NLT. Hallelujah. He said, I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. Practice that. Stay awake. You think about it. You ponder. You mutter. Then you begin to speak it. Just lying down on your bed. Lying down on your bed. So what if my mind tries to drift? It happens to all of us. When you notice your mind is drifting to something else, bring it back. It's not your mind. You have a sound mind. Do you remember that? You have a sound mind. Bring it back. So how do I bring it back? Now, when you notice that if you try to keep it in your heart, that your mind will drift, bring it to your tongue. Why are you lying down on the bed? Say, thank you, Lord, for your providing for me. Things are getting better. Sometimes I even meditate to a point that I begin to tell stories. Yes. So I will now get everything I want. I have everything I want. I will now be very peaceful. I will now be happy. I used to do this, I'm telling you. Yes. I put it, to a story form, in a story form, and I'm telling it. So when I finish building, and then when I'm moving, our first meeting, everywhere packed out, when I be dancing, it's meditation. You know, listen, all of you do this, just in the negative way. And when I started building from there, I just got there in the morning, work was going on. I came back at night, work was going on, and it was so fast. People would just gather and be telling us, how did you guys even become this fast? And I would just tell them, God is helping us. And I would now climb the stage and say, do you know how this building was built? It was built on 5 plates. I used to do this a lot in my mind. I'm just talking to myself. Because, you know, fears will come. But you can shut your mind down with God's word and think only on God's word. Then the next thing is now, as you are doing this, we are getting to where you have to now put it on your lips. That's what I'm going to now. You now begin to confess it. Now, confess it boldly and loudly. Let me tell you, this is so important. Because if you do not put God's word on your lips deliberately, you will lose consciousness of what God has given you. The good thing is this. When you put God's word on your lips and you speak it, because somebody is going to say, I'm saying meditation, I'm saying confession. They are the same thing, but not exactly. So meditation, you are just meditating. But the last part of meditation is confession. The good thing about confession, when you now begin to confess, guess who is listening to your confession? You. So confession is also a way that you put God's word on your lips. Now, hear this. There are different ways I can teach confession. That is what I'm not saying. There is a confession where you are saying, I will be rich. I will prosper. Or God is prosper. That is that part. The part I'm talking about here is where you are speaking forth what God has done for you in Christ. My sins are forgiven. All those kind of things. I'm righteous in Christ. He has filled me with his love. He has given me his life. All these things we've learned that God has done, you must put them on your lips and begin to voice them. Because once you begin to do that, it's also a way of silencing your mind. That's the first thing. But then it's also a way of feeding yourself afresh with God's word. So think about it. You read the word. You listen to a message. Right? You've read Christian books. You now put God's word on your lips and begin to speak it to yourself. Hearing the same things you are saying. So I always recommend that people have at least one or two talking sessions every day, where they just stand and talk to themselves. Talk God's word to themselves. And it's Christian practice. Philemon verse 6. He said that the communication of thy faith be made effectual by the... Now, this is very important. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So the last part of this verse tells us that there are many good things in you. Every good thing. is in you. He didn't say it will come. It's already in you. Are you guys following me to this point? But how will your faith become effectual? When you acknowledge them. And one major way to acknowledge is with your mouth. When you acknowledge them. When you begin to say them. So life is working in you. You must acknowledge it. That's how it will become effectual. Are you getting what I'm talking about now? Life is working. Love is working. You must acknowledge it. And that's why I said that we know it. You have to know. You have to reckon. You have to meditate. You have to speak it. So a believer should be able to have times he says, life is working in me. I have patience. I walk in patience. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. Are you getting the point? I'm not sexually perverted. Yes. Because there are people that are like that. We have to say that I'm not. Now, again, it's not pretense. You remember Usada yesterday? Are you guys following me at all? It's not pretense. It's not like say it till you have it. Mm-mm, that's not it. That's not faith confession. It's not say it till you have it. It is say it because you have it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Say it because you have it, then you will see it. Say it because you have it, then you will see it. The see now is you begin to walk in the experience. So you've been filled with this, but you must begin to say them. So he didn't say, acknowledge the good things that will come into you. He said there are good things that are already in you, but then you will acknowledge them. Give me Amplified Classic of this verse. Amplified Classic. And I pray that the participation and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of everything that is ours and in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. So he talks about full recognition. So you have to know. Right? You must appreciate it. You must understand it. You must have precise knowledge. So that's what I've been trying to say since yesterday. Know it. Meditate on it. Speak it until it takes over you. So these things are there, but you must begin to say them. Are you following me? Psalm 107 verse 2 tells us, has the Lord redeemed thee? Tell of it. And can I say to you, I just quoted the passion, but this is, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you are redeemed of the Lord, say so. So are we redeemed of the Lord? What must you do? Say so. It's not in your mind. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So if the Lord has redeemed you, say so. If he has made you righteous, say so. If he has forgiven you, say so. If you carry his life, say so. If you are full of love, what do? So what are you saying to yourself? This one is not addressing the devil. Mm-mm. That is that part. That one is spiritual warfare. This one is saying to yourself. What are you saying to yourself, to your hearing? What are you saying to yourself, to your hearing? Amen. You know, there are four things that this does to you. I'll show you some other scriptures. Let me show you. The first thing, when you begin to say these things to yourself, first, it brings more revelation. Because remember I said, when you are saying it, you are hearing it. It brings more revelation. It brings more awareness. More revelation, understanding, more awareness. It also brings conviction. Because the more you keep saying it to yourself, the more it's taking hold of your heart. Then another thing it brings is, it brings ease to walk in it. Anything you keep saying to yourself, you walk better in it. The reason is simple. Your life is programmed to travel in the direction of your words. So anything you keep saying, you will walk in. So when you see people keep saying, you know, I'm just a failure. My life is just a mess. Eventually, they will walk in it. Even though it's not true. Now think of when you now begin to say what is true. Are you getting the point? Your life travels in the direction of your words. I say that again. Your life travels in the direction of your words. So how did you come up with that? James 3 tells us that the tongue is like the rudder. Do you remember that rudder teaching? It's like the rudder in a ship. It's like the steering of a ship. Just like when there is a car. A car has steering. James likens that your tongue to the steering of a car. So if the car is going to go left, we'll turn the steering left. If it's going to go right, we'll turn the steering right. If your life is going to go right, you have to turn your tongue right. If your tongue is turned right, your life will go right. Are you following me this morning? If your tongue is turned left, your life will go. It doesn't matter. It's not a question of I come against it in Jesus' name. If you keep turning your steering this way, and then sincerely in my heart, where I want to go to is I want to go to Galiki. But then I drive out of this compound and I turn my steering the other way. It's not like I mean it, but I just turned it. You don't have, the steering is not thinking of what you have in your heart. Where you turn it, where it's going to go to. Are you following what I'm talking about? Even if your Google map is saying go this way, but you turn your steering this other way, the car follows the steering, not the map. Are you following me, friends? So with everything God has put inside of you, your life follows your tongue. Are you getting the point? So that's why as you are learning these things, and meditate on it, put it on your list and begin to speak it. Because it produces doing. That's why I put it again. What did the Lord say to Joshua? He said, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, then you will be able to do. It's when you put God's word on your lips that you can do. Do you get the point? So keep speaking the word. So it brings, I've said, one of the things it brings more revelation, it brings awareness, it brings conviction, it brings ease to walk in it. So have those sessions where you just stand and you are saying to yourself, the life of God is working in me. You've not even gotten it. You're still quiet. You know, I've taught you here, when I preach and I say something about me, it doesn't bless you. I'm talking about me. So you must say your own. See, if I'm talking and I casually say, the life of God is working in me, you better repeat the same thing. I'm talking about me. The life of God is working in me. Yes. Yes, sir. Whether I say it or not, is it not working? Whether I say it or not, it's working. But you may not walk in it. You know, whether you turn your steering or not, your car is good though. But it's when you begin to turn that steering that it can begin to take you to wherever it can take you to. You want to see your life go right, then turn your tongue right. Because your tongue is like the rudder of the ship. So the guy controlling the ship turns the rudder to the left or the right, and the whole ship. You know, have you ever seen a ship here before? Apart from film. Have you ever seen ship physically? You know, a full ship is bigger than this building. Are you aware? Did you watch Titanic? Did you watch Titanic? Okay, so people did not watch. Okay, which what did you watch? Huh? What? African Magic Epic. Or SeaWorld. You look at that Titanic. The ship was so big that people on this part, they don't even know that people on the other part are existing. It had rooms. That ship, it is so big. And James is telling us that a small rudder makes a good ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. Even though the winds are strong. Just small. So the steering of that big ship, you know, when you see a ship that big, you would have thought that where you control it, you will need a very big iron to be turning, but it's small. It's small. But as you keep turning, it keeps following you. You look at a trailer. You know, you would have thought that, have you seen trailers? All these trailers that have 14 tires. You would have thought that the steering will be very big, bigger than the normal small car, but it's the same thing. Just regular steering. But anyway, it turns it, it follows. Now, see the next verse. After verse 4. It says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. So, you are going to where your tongue is taking you to. You are today where your tongue brought you to.
Where you are today is what you spoke yesterday. Sir, what if I don't say anything? I never thought about it. Because they don't talk. Look at why it's good to talk and why what happens when you don't talk. When you talk to yourself, hear this. Where does the, you know, when you talk to yourself, you're sending forth words. Where does the word go to? Think. When I say, I'm righteous, I just release words. Where is the word going to? To me. I'm the audience of the word, so it comes back into my heart. So when I'm talking to myself. So when you don't talk at all, there's no problem. Some things are talking to you. The devil is filling your heart with things. So your life will still... Are you following the point? So learn to talk to yourself. Say a lot to yourself. Talk to yourself. What has God done? Say it. You will learn this a lot from looking at David. David, the psalm, most of the psalm you read is the psalmist talking to himself. Some examples, Psalm 42 verse 11. Before we even get to all of that. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? So who is talking? Are you sure it's David? Every time you see Psalm, don't think it's David though. David did write all the Psalms, so are you aware? There's even a Psalm that Moses wrote in the book of Psalm. Psalm 90 was written by Moses. Say amen. And we're going to look at Psalm 90, one of these days in this our study. That's by the way. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? So the guy is talking to himself. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So a man is talking to himself. So, give me an NLT. So when you are passing through hell, what can I say to myself? Let's read together. So who is the audience of this conversation? You. Why are you cast down? So imagine you just wake up and notice that you are sad. Instead of going to take alcohol, you get up and say, why are you so tired? Why are you cast down? Have you forgotten? You're not saying it to your mind, you're saying it to yourself. Thank God for mirror. Look at the mirror. Have you forgotten that the Lord is your savior? Have you forgotten that he fills you with joy? Have you forgotten that he keeps his, you're talking to yourself, he keeps his promises to you? Why are you so down? Why are you so cast down? Shouldn't you be rejoicing? You're telling yourself. Because God has done everything well. You speak to yourself and then you speak yourself out of the thing. Have such sessions. Yes. God has filled me with his love. God has filled me with kindness. God has filled me with forgiveness. So even though at this point, this guy is getting on my nerves, but I'm saying to myself, I walk in forgiveness. I'm talking to myself. Who has ever done this kind of thing before? When you are very angry. Anybody? Does it work? All the time. Sir, as I'm saying it, I'm still angry. Keep saying it. I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to hold nothing against you. Not because you are good, but because God has filled my heart with forgiveness. You're saying to yourself, the problem is, there is already a lot. Hear this, and I'm going by the Holy Ghost. When you are angry, let me use anger. There's already a lot going on in your heart at the moment. If you try to fight it with thoughts, you will not win. Because there's already a lot happening. I get what I'm saying now. So, be deliberate with your words. Pick it up. Why am I discouraged? Why are thou cast down all my soul? So, David, there's a big teaching I'm going to do from this, but not today. You know, I'm going to teach you, it's been long as I did a teaching on that, on spirit, soul, and body. It's going to be a long series. So, go back to King James. David is talking to his soul as though it's not him. Why are thou cast down all my soul? So, it looks like there is David and there is his soul. Do you know what that tells you? You are your spirit. Your mind may be full of bitterness, but that's not you. So let your spirit talk to your mind. Are you following me this morning at all? Let your spirit talk to your soul. Your soul is full of pain, but then your spirit is renewed, your spirit is righteous, your spirit is strong because it is the recreated spirit. So let that spirit talk to your soul. So step aside from your soul and address your soul. Why are you full of bitterness? Why are you full of anger? Why are you conceiving evil? Why are you thinking of this? Talk to your soul. So I do this a lot. Sometimes I address myself as though I'm another individual because I'm actually, you know, there is spirit, there is soul, there is body. Abi? Which one is the real you? So what is the soul? Not exactly, but we're going to get to that. Then there is the body. So what is this body? This body is the house containing the spirit and the soul. So it is not the real thing. That is why... Well, let's leave it. So where your body is trying to do something that your spirit is obviously against, let your spirit talk to your body. So, hey boy, why are you trying to be stupid today? Hope in God. Yes. So, David was talking to his soul. Shout amen, somebody. Yeah. Psalm 43 verse 5. Psalm 43 verse 5. You see the same way. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? The same flow. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. God is the health of my countenance. What does countenance mean? What is countenance? Talk. You are right. Just say it confidently. My countenance, how I look, my facial expression. He said, God is one. So in other words, it is not what you do to me that determines how I, whether I smile, whether I frown. God is the health of my countenance. So I laugh, not because everything is fine, but because God is the health of my countenance. My account balance may be down, but God is the health of my countenance. People just allow everything around them to make them how they feel. There are people, once you look at them, you know what they're passing through. It's written on their faces. Glory to God. Glory. I say glory to God. Glory. So couples that are having issues should begin to practice what I'm saying now. When your husband or your wife leaves the house, stand up in the room and begin to look at the mirror and begin to talk to yourself. Why are you always quarreling with your husband? You're talking to yourself. Oh. Why are you always fighting him? Are you not aware that the Lord has made him the head over you? Follow the will of the Lord. You're talking to yourself. Then after advice, you're now beginning to speak to yourself. I align myself to God's word. I have self-control. I walk in submission. But that's the will of the Lord for me. You're saying it to yourself. You're saying it to yourself. You say it so much. When you're done, in the night, you continue. So that if your mind will not hear the one pastor said, it will hear the one you are saying. Amen. Let's see another one. Psalm 62 verse 5. Psalm 62 verse 5. My soul wait thou upon God. So he's talking to his soul. You know, you should be able to talk to your soul. That's what I'm trying to show you. Like it's not you. Because it's not you. My soul. Imagine you're passing where Moses, where David is practicing this. You say this guy is mad. My soul, wait thou wholly upon God, for my expectation is from him. Talk to yourself. Do you know the entire Psalm 103 was David talking to himself? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. Who, I'm forgetting all his benefits. Verse 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He's talking to himself. Are you following me this afternoon? So, I may ask you, but when last did you have a conversation with yourself? Ask the person. When last did you have a conversation? When last did you talk to yourself? Get an answer from your neighbor. When last? Not in your heart, openly. Because David finished speaking these things, then he began to write them. Why are you cast down, all my soul? Hope in God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, this is a good time, a good thing to say. Maybe you are now feeling very guilty and condemned. You begin to say this. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? You're talking to yourself. Who redeemeth thee? That's verse 4. Thy life from destruction. Who crowned thee with loving kindness? That's, I get the point. This is all what almost all the book of Psalm look like. Psalm 121. Do you remember? I will lift up my eyes to the hill. He's still talking to himself. Where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. So we now preach it as we are talking to you, but David was actually having a conversation with himself. Is someone learning something this afternoon? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I will lift up my eyes to the hill. Imagine you are now at a point where Mr. A has disappointed you, Mr. B has disappointed, and expected to begin to cry. You now wake up in the middle of the night and say, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. And you know the thing about it, when you pray and meditate on God's word, these psalms will come forth. You don't even have to plan them sometimes. Are you getting the point? Learn to talk to yourself. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So next time you want to travel, this away from Christian conduct now, but you want to travel and you are just so afraid. You don't know what to do. You realize it is not your spirit that is afraid. It's your mind. It's your soul. So have a conversation. I will lift up my eyes to the hill. Where come my help? My help comes from the Lord. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth thee shall neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. Who is he talking? You know, when you begin to read, when you start from verse 4 and say, the Lord is thy keeper, or verse 5, you will think he's talking to somebody. Are you going to tell the point? You will think he's having a conversation with somebody. It's not when you read the whole chapter, this guy is actually talking to himself. So he begins to use thy. You know, one of the things the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrew is that the word of God divides the spirit and the soul. Have you seen it in the Bible? He divides asunder. If you learn God's word, you'll be able to separate the spirit from the soul. You begin to realize that you are not what you feel. You are not what is happening to you. You are your spirit. So David says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. That's not a place to shout, amen. That's where you take up and begin to talk to yourself too. The Lord is my keeper. He now began to tell his soul, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. Now, this is a man with himself in the room having a conversation. And then you, bitterness tries to take over you. You just sleep. He said, I'll sleep it away. You don't sleep it away. When you wake up, he's still there. Or you say, I'll just free my mind. Don't free your mind, sir. I get to the point. Begin to talk to yourself. So there's a struggle I have. I'm into drugs. I can't help it. That's what I'm saying. We wake up every morning, no matter how you feel. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Put the word of God in your mind. Bring it to your lips. Address your soul every morning, every night, every morning. So yes, you are not, hello, Henry Onyedikachi. You are not a victim. You are not a slave to your appetites. You are not a drug addict. Because the life of God is working in you. You carry his life. That life empowers you to say no to anything that is not of God. You are not weak. You are not defeated. You are talking to yourself. Do that for like 10 to 15 minutes. When you finish, step out. So what if along the line the appetite comes? Repeat the process. Before you sleep at night, go over the same thing again. As you are lying down on your bed, that's what is going on through your mind. Then you doze off. The next morning, what you are doing, now what you are doing is you are filling your heart. And you are using your tongue to control where your life will go. Are you following me, everybody? So what are you going to say to yourself? What have you been saying to yourself? Now, if I move away from Christian character, Christian conduct and all that, even life, if your business is doing poorly, what do you say to yourself? There are some psalms. For instance, there is a psalm. Let me show you this. A psalm of David. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. There's a psalm. There are psalms that David did when he was fleeing from Saul. Amen. Psalms like Psalm 57. Give me verse 1. Let me just show you this. Continue. I'll show you Psalm 57. I'll show you some other psalms. I will cry unto the Lord. Moses, David always talks as though he's not himself. I will do this. He addresses his soul. Hallelujah. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Verse 2. He said, I poured out my complaint. He's talking. There's nobody's address. I want you to always see how that a man can have meeting with himself. A man can have a full conference with himself. Psalm 13 verse 1. Psalm 13 verse 1. How long will thou forget me, Lord? So this is now him. I had to pick Psalm 13 for a reason. This is actually what not to do. But you will also find out that David will go from complaining. Before you know, he'll begin to speak words. Now, if you are ever going to complain when things are not fine, complain in prayer. I get what I'm saying? If you are ever going to murmur negatively, murmur in prayer. You know, the Bible tells us he collects our tears in a bottle. So if it gets overwhelming inside, there is no way somebody cannot complain. Fine. Get your prayer. Shambra gadele pregadele kodoba. God, so you are there and this happened to me. He says, but it's not prayer. But you are talking to God. That is fellowship. I get what I'm talking about. What you find out, if you do that long enough and listen long enough, he will give you words to speak. Yes. Never murmur to yourself. Never complain to people. Never murmur to yourself. If there's ever going to be a complaint where your head don't fool and you have to let it out, talk to the only one that will understand you. The only one that can bring comfort. The only one that can show you the way, the path that you must walk. Because in that moment and that complaining, he begins to fill your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So put God's word on your lips. Is that okay? So before we go this morning, we're going to talk a little. Is that fine? Just begin to think, whatever thing that you're going through, you're going to have some time to just talk. To just talk to yourself. You've been hearing people talk. Your account balance has been talking to you. Life has been talking to you. Friends has been talking to you. Situations have been talking to you. Your sickness has been talking to you. You are the only one that have never spoken to yourself. Look at what I teach. Have your routines. Have a particular, have times in the day. That's why, have you observed how our prayer watches go? Have you? 6 a.m. What do we pray about? Let me tell you. 6 a.m. you find out that we pray supplication prayers. We lead you to pray for yourself. That's why you have to join all the prayers. We lead you to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Different prayers. Pray for this. Pray for your health. Pray for your finance. Pray for your spiritual life. All those. 9 a.m. We lead you to make confessions. Prayerfully. Have you observed? Have you observed it? That's what we're doing. We need to make prayerful confessions. Using our manual, but to make it prayerfully. Because confessions are not the thing, it's not about, because I'm going to get to that very close now. It's not what you do mechanically. They say we should be talking. Say life is working in me. We do it prayerfully. Then 12 noon, we lead you to just pray in tongues. We give you 15 minutes to just pray in the Holy Ghost. Where you share sweet fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Have you been enjoying this? 3 p.m. confession again. Then 9 p.m. intercession. We need to pray for people, pray for church, pray for this. This is actually how the prayer is structured. I just let me tell you. All the leaders know about it actually. Are you getting the point? You are the lover. Just sing from your seat. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. You need more than this world.
More than this world to me.
I want to
trade you for silver or gold.
I won't trade you. I won't
trade you
for riches untold. That address your soul. Have songs. You know, there are songs like that. Hallelujah. Have songs that talk to yourself. Address your soul. Like this song we used to sing those days. Say, my soul, magnify the Lord. You know the song? Let my
spirit praise His name.
Oh yes. Your soul what to do. Hallelujah. You're just passing through a lot. Where's my life? Talk to your soul. Because your soul is trying to drift. It's trying to pay attention to the wrong things. It's trying to allow worry. Have those conversations with your soul. With yourself. With yourself. You are not weak. You are not weak. Henry, you are not weak. You are not tired. You are not giving up. Say it to yourself. Somebody said that you are not giving up. Henry, you are not giving up. You are not giving up. You are not giving up. You are strong. 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 Jesus. My soul magnify the Lord. Let my spirit praise his holy name. Oh yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Fire just round up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is Lord. Even in the grave. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Listen. In some of those psalms, you see David sing some of those things he sings. He's talking to himself. Oh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let your song speak forth what you believe. I don't know why God has put that in my heart. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me. Say for thou, O Lord, for
thou, O Lord,
yes,
are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head.
So, I don't know what is going on around your life, Christian life. There are things you're trying to deal with. I'm teaching you what to do. Hold conversations with yourself. Do it tonight. And let me even tell you, apart from the scheduled times of confession, if it just comes to you, begin to talk. Are you getting the point? If you're walking on the road and it just comes to you that, do you know, just begin to talk. Begin to reply the thoughts. Begin to reply the thoughts. Begin to reply the thoughts. Oh, I'm victorious in Christ. He has empowered me to walk in the light of his word. So I don't follow the dictates of the flesh. I follow the leadings of the spirit. I walk in the spirit. I do not gratify the sense of the flesh. There's no room for immorality in me. There's no room for any addiction. There's no room for bitterness. No room for anger. No room for anger. I do not compromise. Now there is someone here, and there is a big temptation around your life now to compromise. What I'm talking about has to do with money. Financial compromise. And you've been fighting it. You know you shouldn't do it. But it's so strong. And this is me saying, and God saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Speak God's word to yourself. Address yourself. Address your mind. And if I'm going to close, please have your seat for a moment. Don't compromise, oh, God of money. Don't do that. Because devil will try to. But stay your mind on the word of God. How? Put it on your lips. Put God's word on your lips. This what I'm talking about is not statement. It's not about confessing. I'm getting my cars. I mean the things God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Begin to voice them. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Begin to voice them. You are voicing them not to have them, but to bring your mind to a point where you are lying. Where you are lying. Where you are lying. Then what the next thing you do as you are confessing? Now, this is where, as you are confessing the word and all of that, you are meditating, you are confessing, begin to yield yourself. What does it mean to yield yourself? Romans 6:13 tells us we should yield our members. What it might be yield yourself? It's not, yielding is, begin to now, as you are confessing and all that, begin to adjust yourself to whatever it will take to align to these things. Because what happens is that when you are meditating and you are speaking the word, strength is being supplied. So you now begin to yield yourself. Yielding may need you to take deliberate actions. Just like you heard someone testify this morning, having to go and greet people she wasn't greeting before. That is yielding yourself. I get to the point. As you are speaking, you are learning, you are confessing, you are now adjusting, yielding yourself. It might mean delete this app on your phone, yield yourself. And let me tell you, the easiest way to yield, I know I'm going to close, because yielding may look like a tough job for people, but the easiest way to yield is yield to the Holy Spirit in your heart. I'm telling you. that spirit of God. Listen to whatever he, as you are confessing, listen to whatever he tells you to do. Imagine you are learning the word and meditating. He will tell you. Sometimes someone will just call you on the phone and say, come and see me. You will just have that red light that you shouldn't go. Don't go. Yield to it. That's how to live the Christian life. It's by the spirit, not by the flesh. Are you following me? By the spirit. And yield. No, now don't, when I mean yield, don't yield to your feelings. Yield to the spirit. So what do I mean? You are very angry with someone. And you are trying to confess one, and then the Holy Ghost is going to tell that person's story. Just yield. Yield to the spirit. Because the thing is, once you are conscious, he will always lead you. He will always lead you. He will always lead you. You always find that in your heart. But you can't say sorry. Oh yeah, do something for this person. Do something for this person. Notice, one of the people that's one of the guys that, one of these pastors in Enugu that God is helping, and then, yes, he comes around me once in a while. Well, how did I start getting, I was just on Facebook, I was telling mom, I was on Facebook, and I just saw the guy. I'm talking about practicing kindness, and the Lord said, do something for that guy. He's going through some things. I've never spoken to him. He has never spoken to me. They give him money. That is instruction. And I shutted him up. Now, he's a younger minister to me. Okay, younger, as in, older minister, don't chat to younger minister. So, it's the other way. I shutted him up. I said, how are you doing? He said, Jesus, sir, you shutted me up. Because obviously, he knows me, but we've never spoken. I said, yes. The Lord said, I shut you up. What's going on? He said, ministry is fine. I said, that's what I'm saying. That's a financial issue. I told me, he said, when you chatted me up, now that you chatted me, I just got up from the floor where I finished crying and questioning my calling. The Lord will lead you to do kindness if you listen to him. That's why this thing is not, it's not about flesh. It's not about mechanically saying, I work in love, I do this. As you're doing all of that, it's by the spirit. I can tell you what I'm saying now. By attention to your spirit. He will lead you. He will lead you. You begin to yield your members, and every time he will show you what to do. You may not have to hear a voice, my son. Mm-mm. The prompting will come. Let's call it prompting, right? The prompting will come. He will prompt you. Can't greet that person. Can't say something to them. Send that person money. Do good to them. Do this. Forgive that person. Just let it go. You used to get these promptings. If you begin to respond to them quickly, this is you. This is Christian life, but you are now doing it. This is you. This is the God life. You can use those promptings. The idea of meditation and confessing the word and praying is to keep yourself in that consciousness so that when God is speaking, you can hear. Because sometimes he speaks, but we don't hear. You know, right? Because you are just too distracted. But when you meditate and fill your heart with the word of God and confessing the word, when it's time to do right, he will prompt it. And let me teach you, if you want to hear the voice of the Spirit often, practice prompt obedience. Immediately he says something, yield. Prompt yielding. Once you just feel, get up and leave this place. Get up and leave. Yes. Get up and leave. Once you are talking about something, you are talking about somebody. Do you know this person? I just feel that red flag in your, red light in your heart. Stop talking about the person immediately. And the person you are talking to says, ah, what's happening? Say, let's stop. Have you ever been discussing someone and your heart just, you felt the red light? Has it ever happened to you? Prompt to be there. Stop immediately. Yield immediately. Stop. So let's stop talking about this. Now. If the person says, but, stand up and go. Prompt yield. If you can yield, prompt. That's why the person that asked the question about how do I obey these instructions is not by the flesh. It's not carnally. Galatians 3:3. You don't live right. He said, Paul told them, how dare you start off, Galatians 3:3, how dare you start off your Christian life in the spirit and you now want to become perfect by your own efforts, by the flesh? It doesn't work. Living this God life is by the spirit. He will prompt your heart at every time. Every time. So what if he doesn't? He will, must. That's why you have to do everything I've been teaching you, meditation and all of that, so that when he begins to prompt your heart, you will pick it. If you live a life of prayer, a life of learning the word, a life of meditation, a life of confessing the word, there is no way you won't feel that prompting at every time. You must. Are you getting the point? Your husband just annoyed you, and you are waiting to give him bad goods when he comes back. You just hear the Holy Ghost. That's that prompting. God, make his food. Make it well. Add extra meat. Say, Daddy, he didn't drop me money for me. God said, use that money that you have in your account. Because God knows your account. Use it and buy it. Buy extra meat. Beautify the food. Let it come back. Do you know, that's why this is by the Spirit. Your mind can never tell you this thing. Don't say it's my mind. It's your mind. This, your evil mind. He can never mention it to you. It's not possible. So stop thinking, is it my mind or not? I know it's not your mind. You're angry with your wife has done the highest. And you're just boiling. You just say, in your mind, you said that you are meditating. She will see the other side of me. You know, it's because you are doing this marriage thing. You know, very people, somebody said to the wife, if not that we are married, we don't have any rights to talk. Can you talk to me? You know that I married you. Are we age mates in any way? Is it because I married, but you've married her now? As you're just doing all of that, the Holy Ghost just says, the Holy Ghost just says, you know what? You know that dress that she saved on her phone that she likes? Order it for her. Before she comes back. Say, you foul devil, I rebuke you. He's not the devil. The devil cannot tell you that kind of thing. The devil wants to tear your home apart. The flesh wants to mess with your home. It can't be the devil. So I'm giving you the answer now. Just order the dress. And just hang it. When she comes back, she sees it. Say, child, I'm sorry for that thing I said to you before we left. You now become angry. That's when you now show your anger. Nonsense. I'm sorry now. There is peace. Everybody's fine. It takes ignoring the prompting of the Holy Ghost to sin. If you can listen to me, there is no sin you've ever committed that the Holy Ghost didn't prompt you. No sin. Just that you ignored it. When that conductor says, you are an idiot, you and your father and your mother, there is something the Holy Ghost just leave that guy. So as you even tell the boss they are going down now. But you that you never like to be on the losing end, you will insist to give back. As soon as you can literally tell the Holy Ghost, Baba, leave me alone. No. I will do my thing. You now say, look at you. I can feed you and your family for 1 year. You ignore something. We're going to yield to the Spirit, right? When the Lord taught me this some years ago, I sat down and I took stock. I found out everything I've ever committed, I ignored that. It's always there. Sometimes it may be before the sin even comes. He said, don't let that girl visit you. Then you begin to convince yourself, no strings attached, right? But he already told you. The one that knows the end from the beginning says, don't let that girl visit you. He said, no strings attached. Don't let the girl come. It might be the day you are getting that lady's number. The Holy Ghost just said, don't save it. Delete it. It's just by ignoring that first instruction. You say, and now, it may be a business counterpart. Now, the Holy Ghost that told that, he knows that no business can come out from that relationship. So, it's not hard. It's not like a mechanical. You know what I'm saying? Which one am I going to do? How can I keep all these instructions? So, don't lie. Don't steal. Just learn the word. Meditate. Confess the word. Stay in prayer. Every time, he will prompt your heart. Every time. Are you following me, friends? Every time. He has never not prompted my heart. let me even say this to you. It is one of the commitments he has to you. If he doesn't do it, he's breaking his own part of the bargain. He must prompt your heart. You have to ignore for it to happen. So yield to him. This brings you to a point of dependence on him. Yes, that's where it brings you to. You now know that it's not by saying, I will never lie again. How many times have you said you will never do that you later did? Many. I will never steal again. If I steal again, let me die. But I don't say that too. But when sometimes the Holy Ghost knows your level, and I'm guessing by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit, he knows your level. He knows how you're struggling. He knows that if you witness where they kept this money, you will thief it. So what he will do is, ahead of time, he will tell you, leave the house now. Yes. Because he knows you are still making progress. Are you following me, friends? Practice prompt obedience. What is your sense? It's practice. Sometimes when someone starts talking about something, before it goes far, the Holy Ghost will tell you, stop this conversation. Stop it immediately. It can lead to something big. I've experienced this, and I'm telling you a lot, even in counseling. You know, I was helping one of us here. That was last year. You see, this year, last year. This year, actually. She was telling me how she counseled a guy and almost counseled herself into a problem. Because the guy had some sexual struggles. I think I shared this story here. Had some sexual struggles. And he was talking to the girl, his counselor, and started going into details. Say, the girls will now come. And she was just there. Say, for over 1 hour, 2 hours, the guy was talking. He said, when I left there, I wasn't myself. My mind has been polluted. You know, you can go to counsel. I've had to experience that sometimes when people begin to talk, the Holy Ghost says, tell her to stop. You just see me cut in and say, okay, so what you're saying is that you had an affair with the guy, right? Yes. Prompt obedience. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Prompt response. The Holy Ghost says, tell her to stop. So what they're trying to say is this, that I say, okay, fine. So, see what you should do. I think that's the point of the counseling. There are times where the Holy Ghost allow you to ask further questions in counseling, because he wants, just like a doctor, you want to be able to know, is it that this guy is an addict? How do we deal with this? Or is it just someone that is careless? There are a few questions, but sometimes with all these things I know in counseling, there are times the Holy Ghost tell him to stop. He says, okay, stop. So this is what happened, right? Fine. Listen, it takes ignoring those promptings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That this song that says, as you carry me in the wind. Yes. What's been on that song? All I see is you. Is that it? Yes. Let's sing it. As I worship and adore you. Just lift your hands in this place. Oh yes.
As I worship.
What I did in this first 1 week, I just showed you the how of Christian living. Yes. The how of living the God life. That's not that thing I just did. From Sunday, we saw how the God life, how we receive the life of God. We saw what it can do in us. We saw what it put in us. We saw how to align ourselves to that life. That's all. Just allow Him. Allow Him to dictate. So what, how do I remain conscious of Him talking to me? I've answered it already. Pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Listen to God's word a lot. Fill your heart with the word of God. So the effort actually is in filling yourself with God's word and prayer. That's where the effort is. I'm just telling you. Once you fill yourself with God's word by learning, by listening, by meditating, by confession, all those things, then hear Him. He will yield. You will yield. You will yield. Practice prompt response. Prompt obedience. Prompt response. Prompt. Like when He brings it immediately. You know, sin is something people can commit at any time. If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Do you know what leads people from? Sometimes you are ministering in the spirit. The next moment you are ministering in the flesh. You didn't hear to the Holy Ghost. I was telling mom, there are sometimes, I had this a few times. Even when I was at Obolo this last time, it happened to me. I don't know why, but I just yielded. And when I yield, I don't bother to know why. One day I was ministering, the Lord said, I'm ministering, God will say, close this meeting by 8. 8 on the dot. Yes. 8 on, immediately it was 8. No matter what I was saying, I just yielded. I dropped the mic and left. If I had gone beyond that point, every other thing would start happening carnally and by the flesh. Do you get what I'm saying now? If you practice prompt response, like some of you that God is saying, give that boy something, buy something for him. Do you know sometimes it can just be passing? It happens to me. Just be passing. Say, see that guy, do something for him. Even up until this morning, there is this someone that the Lord is putting in my heart, so you have to reach out to this person. Financially. And this person I'm talking to you about, we've not spoken in years. We just come to my spirit. I don't know him. I don't know what he's going through. But he just came. Now, that is me being kind. When people are going to see that from the outside, they say, hey, Pastor Henry is so kind. What's actually happening? I'm just yielding to the spirit. I get what I'm saying now. It will not be an audible voice. Say, my son, go now. You will see a man tying red scarf. Remember, you are yielding yourself to prayer, to meditate on the word. I said something yesterday, do you remember? Well, you give yourself to much praying, much meditation, and all of this. Do not take the things that cross your mind lightly. Do you remember that yesterday? Because you cannot be given to much praying, much meditation, much confession, and all that, and then crazy things are crossing your mind. Most times when those thoughts drop, God is one dropping them. Yes. So if I can tell you, if I mean that since that time when I know I'm giving fully to the Spirit and praying and all that, any thoughts that comes to my head is word of knowledge. Let me not even get into that. Because once you yield to Him, your mind, your spirit, and your mind, His spirit fills your mind that He begins to think through you. So in this is where you pray out of that, but the truth is that will come. Help that person. Help that person. How you will know it is now supernatural. It's now when you help them. They want to say, Jesus, do you know I was asking, I didn't actually have transport to go. How do you know I didn't have transport? Was I behaving anyhow? You say, no. He just came to me to give it to you. Even if you have put your hand to take somebody's thing and just fell, I just remember, leave the thing down, go. Yield promptly. Because when you yield promptly to the Spirit, you are actually telling Him, you can lead me over more issues. Secondly, you are teaching yourself to yield the next time. I mean, it takes ignoring the spirit to say no. There is nobody that is a believer that will tell me that the day you picked up an indecent clothes to wear, that nothing spoke to you. It's not true. You ignored it. Something told you, this one is showing your cleavage. This one is this. And that's why you come out, you keep asking people, how does this look? Is it too short? You know what is happening? Something has spoken to you. You are trying to fight it. It's not too short, Shay. If I drag it down, Shay, it will not show. You know? Are you following me, friends? Because it takes not paying attention to your spirit to allow sin. 5 minutes, we're going to do something here. If there's any struggle, any area of your life you want God to help you with, we're going to take up a confession. You will pray, you will speak. Is that okay? Any area of your life. Rather that you talk too much, and when you talk, you used to insult people. This time to talk. Pray and begin to speak concerning what yourself, whatever God tells you. Remember, I said, talk to yourself. Say, you are not a loose talker. You are led by the Spirit. You are controlled. You have controlled speech by the Spirit. There's any area of your life. You notice you have this temper thing, or you have this pride thing. Whatever it is that you want God to help you with, we are going to pray on top of our voice, and we're going to take up God's word, confession, and we close from there. Is that okay? Lift your voice. Let's just pray in this place. You will pray, you will speak. If you need to excuse yourself, go to a corner where nobody is going to hear you. Do that. Because you will pray, you will speak forth by the Spirit. And address yourself. You are the audience of this conversation now. Saying something to yourself, to your mind. People have said you are this and you are that. Talk to yourself according to the word of God. Talk to your soul according to the word of God. You are not that weak person. You are not that bitter person. You are not that angry person. You are someone yielded to the love of God in your heart. Changing in this place. All of us are becoming more aware of the life that we must walk and the life that we must live. Minutes. Take it. Use it well. Oh, yes. Woo! Come on. Don't stop. Come on. Us in this place. God is changing us in this place. Found out before we close, anybody that really wants to do right and get his Christian life right, God always comes through to the person. He gets through to the person. And that's one refreshing thing I found out. People who dwell and continue in a particular lifestyle for a very long time, there is every possibility that they don't really care. Now, when you do not really care, the Holy Ghost doesn't impose himself on people. So what will happen is that you will stop hearing him when he talks. That's what I'm talking about. But if you really want to, you're reading the word, you're yielding yourself, you're studying the word, he will always get through to you. One testimony I want you to take home from this meeting is minimized mistakes. That's what I'm talking about. Minimize. Now, we're not preaching sinless perfection. We are still growing. We are getting better. But for every time you grow, there should be minimized mistakes. There are some challenges that I'm trusting God for, some lifestyles that should die and end with this meeting. So you can refer back to this meeting and say, from 10 days of light till now, I've never had any reason to curse anybody, to insult anybody, to fight anybody. I get what I'm talking about. I've never had any reason to be on anybody's bed that is not my spouse. I've never had any reason. Those things should end. That's the help the Holy Ghost offers. But that's if you want it. And I know you do. If not, you will not be here. As you go back, yield to him. Yield to him. Are you following me? Yield to him. You know, finally, you know you can win, right? A lifestyle. Why? Because already there is a deposit of the life of God. Do you remember that? That's where I'm coming from. The life of God is in you. So you are not trying to do what you cannot do. You are trying to do what you've been empowered to do. Say, I have the life of God. Can we shout it better? Say, I have the life of God. And I walk in the life of God. I walk in the Spirit. I'm full of the life of God. I demonstrate the life of God. So I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to the flesh. See my body. Look at this body. It's yielded to God. As an instrument of righteousness, only emphasize that this body
is yielded to God as an instrument of righteousness, only I do not yield myself to sin. I do not yield myself to sin. I yield myself to the promptings of the Spirit. So I will respond. I will obey promptly. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I want to hear your testimony. Yes. I want to hear that after this meeting, by December, I want to hear that there is a lifestyle that has died totally. That from this meeting, you can't even remember indulging in it again. How many of you will testify about that? Yes. That you've been getting better. It's where this love worked in. Because once you master it, everything is fine. How many of us are full of love in this place? Shout it again, come on. I'm full of love. I'm full of love. So nobody can actually piss me off to the point where I forget who I am. I'm full of love. I'm full of love. No matter how much you piss me off, I can't forget that. Love is working in me.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.